Over the last few years, efforts to drill for oil in the Arctic Ocean put Alaska at the center of an international debate. It's a highly political topic, one both former President Barack Obama and President Donald Trump weighed in on. And to this day, there hasn't been any oil produced from Arctic waters solely owned by the federal government. But over the last year, several steps were taken to change that. Two companies' efforts to drill for oil in the Beaufort Sea are moving forward, and at least for now, they've largely avoided the national spotlight. Elizabeth Harbaugh from Alaska's Energy Desk has more details.
When it comes to drilling for oil in Alaska's Arctic Ocean, you might think not a lot is happening. First, there was this development in late 2015, as heard on NPR.
Royal Dutch Shell is stopping its drilling operations in the Arctic for the foreseeable future.
Then, on Fox Business last December, there was this headline.
President Obama is taking new action to indefinitely bar offshore drilling in areas of the Arctic and Atlantic Oceans.
Yes, Shell's multi-billion dollar effort to find oil in federal Arctic waters is a thing of the past. And yes, the Obama administration then took several steps to cut back on drilling in Arctic waters, actions the Trump administration is now working to undo. But it turns out there is movement to get oil out of federally owned parts of the Arctic Ocean. It's happening slowly and without a lot of fanfare.
Some maps here. That's where Liberty would be right here. And then I've got
Jim Kendall is regional director for the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management in Alaska, one of the federal agencies that approves offshore drilling plans. He's showing me a map of the Beaufort Sea, where two companies are now leading efforts to produce oil from federal waters. First, Kendall is reviewing Hilcorp's Liberty project. The plan calls for producing oil from a man-made gravel island east of Prudhoe Bay as early as 2020. The other project, led by Italian company Eni, is at an earlier stage. Eni is working to get the final go-ahead to explore for oil west of Prudhoe this winter, using a gravel island in state waters. They aim to drill thousands of feet down, and then tens of thousands of feet horizontally to the north, to see if there's any oil there worth recovering. Both companies had their leases before the Obama administration limited Arctic development. So, they've slipped past the influence of both Obama's and Trump's executive pens. Another reason these projects are happening below the national radar? Kendall says, in many ways, they don't compare to Shell's massive Arctic undertaking.
It's kind of apples and oranges.
Shell's exploration was far from shore, and in waters well over 100 feet deep. Hilcorp and Eni's operations would be closer to land and pipelines, and in waters not a lot deeper than an Olympic diving pool.
And maybe that's why it just hasn't caught a lot of attention. I mean, it's another gravel island. I mean, it's been done before. I mean, it's close to shore. It's not 70 miles offshore.
When Kendall says it's been done before, he's referring to a handful of existing man-made gravel islands in the Arctic Ocean companies are already drilling from. The key detail, though, is that these islands are in state waters. If it gets the final go-ahead, Hilcorp's Liberty project would be the first project in Arctic federal waters to produce oil. It sounds like a big deal, and it is. But Hilcorp also wants to hit home the message that they're not doing something completely new. In Alaska, the company faces an extra level of public scrutiny after safety incidents like a gas leak from one of its fuel lines in Cook Inlet this spring. Mike Dunn, Hilcorp's project manager for Liberty, argues his project isn't especially risky.
From our perspective, I won't say it's simple, but it's been done often enough where we don't have to come up with some new technology. I mean, a lot of folks before us have figured this out.
Michael Levine with the Ocean Conservancy in Juneau acknowledges that compared to what Shell was trying to do, the risks for Hilcorp's and Eni's projects are better understood. But, Levine says, any drilling in Arctic waters is worth paying close attention to.
There's still massive industrial undertakings in a risky and remote place.
But do these projects mean there's still a promising future for oil drilling in Arctic waters? Oil industry supporters hope so. But beyond politics, Kendall says there are larger forces that have a big influence on that future: oil prices and climate change.
If we have a longer drilling season, less ice, for some reason, oil prices go up again, then, of course, the market changes, and then industry, they have to decide what they would like to pursue.
Kendall says it's too early to say if the Eni and Hilcorp projects herald the triumphant return of big-time oil development in the Arctic Ocean. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Elizabeth Harbaugh in Anchorage.